Does it work? Does it work? Does it work?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Can everyone hear me?
Yes. Yes. Sorry, that was like part of my anxiety was like tech issues. I'm just going to be honest. I was like, no. I know. Okay.
Cormac, tell me you're there.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, shut the fucking front door. It's working. Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Hi, I'm Cormac.
And I'm Josh.
Welcome to The Living Project.
Be true, live wild.
Hello, and welcome to episode 18 of The Living Project podcast. Today we're joined by Betta Hansen from her home and work in Washington State, USA.
Betta has a really interesting and intriguing story. She describes herself as a third culture child. So growing up in Rome, transiting to Brazil, and then eventually as an adult to the United States. She tells us about what the wild means for her. Having a really important experience at school through to making a commitment as an adult to working in the outdoor education environment. She says something really interesting about her connection to Earth. She says, the Earth pulls the you out of you.
This is a lovely chat. We hope you enjoy it.
Well, hello, Betta. How are you today?
Hi, I'm well, thanks. I'm excited to be invited to chat with you guys today.
Yeah, we're really excited too. And just tell us where you are speaking to us from.
I am in the office in our little two-bed apartment in the dorm of Annie Wright Schools.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we have our, they provide a really nice, it's actually a huge two-bedroom apartment. And so I'm in our office space.
And where is this school?
It's in Tacoma, Washington.
And it was a long drive to, obviously, when we met, you were in Boston, Massachusetts. Yeah.
Yeah. It was an amazing drive. Just the way the land changed throughout the 5 days. So we like purged a bunch of stuff, kept only what we needed, and we drove across the U.S. And we took the northern route. So we got to see sort of like upstate New York, northern Adirondacks, and the green mountains there, and then moving into the plains of the Midwest and seeing all the corn and soybean and farmland. And then in South Dakota, got to see drive through the Badlands. That was amazing. Through Montana, I'd never spent much time in Montana before. That was a new state for me, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. Through a mountain range in Idaho, like the top skinny part of the state, and then boom, right over the Snoqualmie Pass into Washington. So just that visual change of landscape was beautiful. I loved it.
I've never been to those places that you just described, Betta, but I was really frantically in my mind trying to piece it all together. And I just kept having little flashes of various American movies, you know, thinking, oh, North by Northwest. Yeah. Maybe something with way back, even with a spaghetti Western or John Wayne. I don't know. It was crazy.
Pretty sure you know the first question that's coming at you for this show is that you know that we work closely with a belief that, you know, human life is a fluid balance between four key elements of water, earth, fire, and air. And we'd like to ask you which of those elements resonates with you the most and why.
Yes, it's such a good question. And instinctively for me, Earth resonates with me the most, Mother Earth. And I'm pulled to her because I feel like she's nurturing, a caregiver. She provides, and she's really grounding. So she pulls the you out of you, and that's been my experience with Earth.
Wow, Beta. So I know, and I really want to find out a bit more about your background, you know, your upbringing. I think it's very unique and very interesting. So with that thought around being connected with the earth, tell us a little bit about how you see yourself. Where are you from? And, you know, how do you identify yourself?
That's always been the hardest question for me to answer. Where are you from? I don't have a simple answer. And sometimes I try to take the easy way out and just say, I'm from Boston, but I'm not really. So a longer explanation of it is, well, okay, a longer and quicker. Here we go. So I know, right? I'm born in Rome, but I grew up in Brazil. My father's American and my mother, she's English, Polish. For a long time, I'm like, I don't belong anywhere, but I belong everywhere. And then one day, university class, I learned about third culture child. And that's a sociological term, and it explains how a person who has spent a good portion of their developmental years in a culture different to their inherited culture. Yeah. So I hold a passport to the United States, but I'm born in Rome, grew up in Brazil. So I don't connect entirely with everyone who, in the States, with their upbringing, right? So they're like, oh yeah, I remember when this was cool and in our childhood. I'm like, nope, because I was in Brazil and it was very different. So a third culture person, they develop relationships to multiple cultures, and their sense of belonging to an exclusive culture doesn't exist. And so I'm like, yes, finally. And it explains sort of this difficulty for me to put myself in one place. So where I'm from is where I am. And for some people, that's a bit difficult. Then we can have the conversation of family roots and where everyone comes from. So,
yeah, I mean, this podcast for us is all about exploring people's own understanding of their truth, right? And, you know, you've taught me something in this discussion already about, you know, and I studied social anthropology and used to teach sociology, and third culture kids that understanding is new to me. So that, I think that's pretty powerful. And I think it's, you know, it's a pretty deep, like, choice to go and develop that level of understanding rather than sit in a state of confusion, believing that we're different from what should be, whereas we are what we are. Mm-hmm. And I think that links really brilliantly with the statement you made about Earth, where it pulls the you out of you. Mm-hmm. Like, it, you know, it has no, it, there's no choice but for the you to come out. So, born in Rome, mm-hmm. and then grew up in Brazil, mm-hmm. Before moving to the States. Earth is very important. It's what you connect with, and you clearly have a relationship with the earth. Did that start in Brazil? Like that connection, mm-hmm. or how did it begin?
Yes, but it took me a while to recognize it, right? So it wasn't, I didn't realize it at the time, but I had a really powerful first time experience outside with a high school trip. We went to Ilha do Cardoso. It's a state park. It's located on the coast of the state of São Paulo in Brazil. And it Ilha do Cardoso is a large area of Atlantic forest that's on an island and includes marshes and mangroves that form an important breeding area for marine life. So that was the environment that we were in. But really, it was this outdoor experience with a group of awkward adolescents, right? And we had that space to unfold and to work together, to grow individually and as a group. So that was my true first experience, just becoming, pulling me, like Earth was pulling me out of me at that moment. That's like the first time I remember that. Yeah. So that was super powerful. And then, you know, you go back to school and you continue on and you're like, yeah, that was great memories and such. And then moving to the States and going through my years of university and then going through a different program focusing on adventure education kept me going back to Earth and to those outdoor experiences. And then I was able to find my vocation, right? And connecting my love of being around people and being with Earth, and I found my work and what I love to do, and providing those experiences to young people like I had in the woods, in the wilderness with Earth.
Better. It sounds like you found your vocation quite seamlessly, the way you've described it, but I'm sure you've condensed that story down for us. So, you know, just tell us a little bit about, you've had that magical experience in the outdoors, but you know, and now you've ended up telling us about this course you were doing in the States on outdoor adventure. How did those two things link together, that experience and what you're doing now? Was it easy?
No, definitely not. It's in order to, I feel like in order for a person to, excuse me, feel comfortable with where they're at is allowing themselves to be a bit vulnerable. And I still struggle with that. But having those experiences in nature with Mother Earth, growing and learning how to be proper outdoor leader and how to facilitate groups of people outside and how to be safe. There's moments of real challenge and real risk, and you have to believe in yourself that you're making good decisions, and that comes with a little bit of vulnerability. And so it's overcoming that for me, well, not completely overcoming, like I said, it's something that's constant, it never goes away, but it's allowing yourself to open up to that and be pulled into it and work with it. So that's always been a challenge, transitioning from my time at university and then changing to adventure education, where school was outside and I loved it.
Okay, so from university to adventure education, mm-hmm. where school was outside, mm-hmm. you loved it. Were you able to find a safe place for that vulnerability to continue to exist in your own growth whilst working with young people in their own growth? Using and working with the wild to provide that?
Yes. And I feel it's not just a simple answer of how to work with that. I think it's different for each person. But for me, it was a way that I was able to meet people where they're at. So when we're outside and on these expeditions with young people, everyone, the students especially, they find themselves in a space with none of their comforts and attachments available from their home environments. So the only way these young people can bring those places with them and influences with them is internally. So there's that vulnerability piece. And the challenging team tasks or whatever is happening in that moment on expedition helps everyone, including myself and the students, to process the places and these influences.
And are you still, because obviously we met through an organization that specifically provided you know, personal development expeditions, world challenge. Are you still involved in that? Is that still part of your life now?
Absolutely. I feel the common denominator for me is continuing to help young people to find their place in the world. So from working at international boarding schools where we live on a campus and working through stuff, there's a lot that happens when you're at schools, and especially that sort of the residential side of things. When you're in a dorm, you get to see that whole person. You don't only see the student academically, you get to see where they live too. And so continuing to help them to process emotions and to learn by doing and figuring out who they are in life. And that's on a, you know, boarding school campus. But then there's opportunities when we get to go outside and take people hiking and camping and connecting with the earth. And that gives another opportunity for these young people to see themselves in a different way. I feel like a lot of young people in the world have pressures from their families and parents wanting them to get certain grades and to go to certain schools once they graduate from high school and to become certain professions. Like when you grow up, you'll be doctor, lawyer, whatever, fill in the blank. And that person might be trying to figure out, like, I don't want to do that. I want to do something else. And just having the confidence to grow into themselves. And so, yeah, that's been my life work, working with young people to provide them a space to figure out who they are.
Hi, guys. Just a quick interruption from us. Enjoying today's Ordinarily Inspired chat? Yeah, us too. To join the journey, you can follow us on social media at It's The Living Project. Or if you fancy a really powerful, wild experience yourself, check out our website, www.thelivingproject.life, and have a look at our Wild 24 and other stuff you can get involved with. On our website, you can also become a patron. We love making these podcasts, but it takes some effort, and we'd love you to join the community and support our efforts in finding everyday epic people around the world to explore their journey with the wild, and to share their experience with us all. www.thelivingproject.life, and that's become a patron. Any amount will be gratefully received. Right then, back to the chat.
Better, you've shown your commitment to outdoor education and really eloquently outlined the power of that. If I may, I'd like to kind of delve a little bit into your connection with the element of water, because, you know, you've flown through this, your life, through many different experiences and continents, as you've explained to us. And you've clearly come to a point where you've really committed to being this outdoor leader yourself. But I'm wondering, it's easy for us as leaders to kind of champion the value for others, but we do it, don't we? Because it's intrinsically valuable to us as human beings, as individuals. I'm really wondering about your own personal journey and why, what does the wild mean to you? And you know, what do you personally get out of being outdoors?
So being outside helps me to calibrate my emotions.
As part of the setup for this this podcast, this conversation, you sent us a little bit of information, and something that stood out for me was you said you found your own psychosocial spiritual balance through outdoor leadership. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. That's incredible. I really would love to ask Betta what she means a little bit by that.
Yes. So finding my psychosocial spiritual balance outside, it allowed me to ground myself and to find security and to believe in myself. And that seems like it's really easy to do, but it's challenging when you're out there with a group of people and you have different dynamics every time, or even by yourself. So psychosocial meaning knowing who I am, or growing and learning from experiences, being with different people, even with myself. That's always doing like a solo trip is really challenging, and that's when you push through to that spiritual balance side of things, and recognizing just the power of all the elements coming together. One can't exist without the other, just like humans, we can't exist without each other. So that's that psychosocial spiritual experience for me is I'm happier being outside because I do find more opportunities to believe in myself.
Right, yeah, that will resonate with a lot of people. It certainly resonates with me. I think the wild has probably cast the most doubt in me about myself at times, and has also provided me with the opportunity to re-believe in my capacity and not to do things to be defined by acts, but to be able to connect. And I know that that connection is something that's really important to you, to connect with humanity. And you've mentioned it, you know, meeting people where they are. You also, in our setup for this chat, said something that I quite liked, and I want to touch on, I suppose, now, because we're interviewing you in the States, and the States has had some different reactions to COVID-19 than the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, everywhere's had different reactions. You know, we have different countries on the same island doing different things, so it's a clusterfuck for everyone wherever we are. But you said to us a very clear line is that Earth has taught you the importance of hard work and patience, and the air element, a deep compassion for others. So I'm wondering, how those lessons of hard work and patience and compassion for others are serving you in life now.
Gosh, there's such COVID fatigue that has settled in, at least for myself. I witness it around with other people too. But that's that part of hard work and patience. We have to believe that what we're doing will work, and it is hard to try to connect with people wearing this mask. That's what I continue to find. That's the hardest for me. And having patience that continuing to wear that mask, one day we will be able to not wear that mask anymore. But since working with people, connecting with people is such a big part of my everyday existence, I found that I talk differently when I have my mask on. I make better eye contact. I talk more with my hands. If you can believe it, I already talk with my hands, but I talk even more with my hands. So just trying to get some sort of reaction out of people that's just not a facial reaction. If I can connect it to a wilderness experience, it's one moment that really sticks out for me is transitioning from a hiking portion of a trip to a paddling portion of a trip. So it's two completely different types of equipment needed and skills needed. But what was incredible for me on a trip like that is that you're like, wow, after hiking for so many miles, you know, your feet hurt, your legs hurt, and you're like, oh, I can't wait to sit in a boat for a bit, right? And then you get to use other muscles while you're paddling along in a canoe down the river.
I quite like that initial analogy of the trip, like this going into COVID is and managing COVID is quite like that, right? Like everyone's been trekking for so long, mm-hmm. Has been waiting for something else. Then when that something else comes along, you shift into the paddle boat or you move into these new situations. It's a whole new bunch of muscles, mm-hmm. learn like ways to behave, practices, and you kind of have to then get good at that and actually find the development in that because it's what you're doing.
Yeah. If you would indulge me, I think just leading into the summary, I had one last question. What's maybe happening with you right now, you know, in terms of, you know, what's happening and where do you think, you mentioned about potentially doing some more trails, but where do you hope that might lead you?
Well, so one of the main attractions to moving to a whole new place in the United States was that I've never been in the Pacific Northwest, and so that was the biggest draw for me to make this big move, to have a brand new job and brand new colleagues in the age of this craziness of COVID days. And so I've already been able to experience some amazing hikes and paddling in alpine lakes here. But I'm excited to just plan more time outside. It's just part of me. I can't get away from it.
Great answer. And seems like a really healthy place to wrap up this magical conversation. Love that. And you've shared that throughout our conversation today, you know, about this connection with Earth that you have and this, you know, this belief and commitment to the fact that Earth draws you out of you, and that was a powerful experience that you had when you were young. And although we are not just, you know, our experiences and what we do, it committed some values in you about connecting with the wild and growing on a journey with the wild into, you know, facilitating young people and yourself continuing that connection with the earth and continuing to work with the wild to explore ourselves as human beings. And, you know, it's been lovely to hear how you are maintaining those values in what you do now. And it's been wonderful to hear that from you. So thank you so much for joining us today, Betta.
Oh, thank you. It is true what people say. I do like chatting with you both. You do provide a good space for me be able to talk and process out loud and maybe not get to a point, but you help me get to a point. So you guys are good at this. Well done facilitating.
Oh, well, thank you for that, Betta. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you've enjoyed our podcast today with Betta and hearing all about her very human journey with the wild. I wonder what the wild means to you. We really look forward to seeing you again on this journey.
In the meantime,
be true, live wild.
You've been listening to The Living Project with Josh Bulpin and Cormac Davey.
Enjoyed it? Please subscribe, follow, rate, and share with everyone you know. See you next time.
Be true, live wild.